السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، شكرا.
أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
نبدأ
نعم يا
تأخرنا.
شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And for some classes, we have been on the chapter Babu Raf'il Aydi Fi Du'a, the chapter about the virtue of raising the hands during Du'a. And it includes similar other lines of conduct about manners regarding Du'a, such as facing the Qibla and things like that. The last hadith we read in class and the last before it emphasized the essence of raising the hands while making dua in hadith 614, the hadith of Tufail ibn Amr. We recall that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying for that companion who cut his veins, the veins of his hands, and radiyallahu anhu, he bled until he died, radiyallahu anhu. Tufail ibn Amr saw him in his dream. He was looking well, he was looking well kept, as from the rewards of is making hijrah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He himself said that. He said, "Ghufira li bi hijrati ila an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Then Tufail asked him, "Wa ma sha'nu yadayk?" What about the condition of your two hands? He said to Tufail, "Ila, it was said to me that inna la nuslihu minka ma afsadta min yadayk. We will not repair, we will not rectify, we will not correct from your hands ma afsadta min yadayk. We will not correct what you had employed your own hands to destroy, what you corrupted, what you destroyed by cutting your own hands. We will leave it like that for you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam heard this from Tufayl, because Al-Imam al-Bukhari, it occurs in the riwayah that فَقَصَّهَا أَبْتُفَيْلُ عَلَى النَّبِي sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Tufayl told the narration to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. فقال, and then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma walidayhi faghfir, Allahumma walidayhi faghfir, O Allah, walidayhi faghfir, forgive ya Rabb, walidayhi, his two hands, O Allah, his two hands, forgive, wa rafa'a yadayhi. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made this dua, his hands were raised up alayhi salatu wa sallam. This showed that it is from the sunnah of dua to raise our hands. Thereafter, we read the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Anas said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتعوذ يقول the Prophet will be asking for protection from Allah. He'll be asking Allah, Allah, protect me. And the way he would say that was to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. Oh Allah, I ask your protection away from al-kasal, away from laziness. Wa'udhu bika min al-jubn. I ask your protection away from cowardice. Wa'udhu bika min al-harami. I ask your protection away from the weakness, from the illness that comes along with old age. Wa'udhu bika min al-bukhli. I also ask your protection from al-bukhl, from stinginess and miserliness. We would ask, what is the point of reference in this hadith that showed that it was appropriate for us to raise our hands while making dua? It is said that that has to do with the essence of the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not be making these kinds of dua, as we have read from the various reports previously, except that he raised his hand sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next hadith, which is the fourth hadith we'll be reading today, is hadith number 616. The first hadith we'll be reading today is hadith 616, where al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا خليفة ابن قياط قال حدثنا كثير ابن هشام قال حدثنا جعفر عن يزيد بن الأصم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال قال الله أنا عند ظن عبدي أنا عند ظن عبدي وأنا معه إذا دعاني أنا عند ظن عبدي وأنا معه إذا دعاني أنا عند ظن عبدي وأنا معه إذا دعاني. الإمام البخاري reported this narration from his Sheikh Khalifa ibn Khayyat. I hope that we can hear me, brothers. Can we hear me, brothers?
Now, ya Sheikh, we are hearing.
Right. I think the hadith on the screen is also 614 rather than 616. Al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا خليفة ابن قيات, that is الإمام خليفة ابن قيات البصري رحمه الله, from the teachers of الإمام البخاري, well known from amongst the scholars of Islamic history رحمه الله. He said حدثنا كثير ابن هشام, that is كثير ابن هشام البغدادي. كثير ابن هشام al-Baghdadi, he said, حَدَّثَنَا جَعْفَر, that is Ja'far ibn Burqan al-Jazari, that is Ja'far ibn Burqan al-Jazari, who said, عَنْ Yazid ibn al-Asam. Yazid ibn al-Asam was a well-known from amongst the Tabi'un. He was the son of the sister of Maimuna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a wife, Maimuna radiyallahu anha. She had a sister. That sister had a son. The son of the sister of Maimuna was Yazid ibn al-Asam. It was Yazid ibn Amr ibn Ubaid. Yazid ibn Amr ibn Ubaid Abu Auf. Yazid ibn Amr ibn Ubaid rahimahullah al-Bakai. He was well known from amongst the students of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam aqal. He reported from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Qal Allah. He said that the Prophet said, Qal Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from this isnad, you would see that the isnad ended with the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, ascribing the statements to Allah. Ma yantahi sanabihi ilallah. The sanad, the isnad ended with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you would find a hadith when the isnad ends with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. We say it is from the marfu'at, the statement of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, or his actions and his approvals. And if the isnad ended with a companion, we said this is mawqufun an sahabi. It stops at the sahabi that is mentioned in that report. And it is, if it is maqtu, that is the report from man dun al sahaba, from amongst the tabi'un down. The scholars will refer to them as marfu'at. But these marfu'at, they have a kind. Marfu'at, they have two kinds. Those ones that are from ahadith nabawiyyah, those ones that are from the express statements of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam himself, or his actions, or his taqrirat, his approvals, or those ones that are from the things that he ascribed, yusniduha ila rabbihi. He will ascribe those reports, those ahadith, those expressions. He will ascribe them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those kinds of ahadith are also marfu'at, but they are usually referred to as al-ahadith al-qudsiyah, awil ilahiyah. Those reports that are ilahiyya, that are ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you read in this isnad that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, an Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was reporting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, who said, qal Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So it means this is a hadithun qudsiyun, or elsewhere they also refer to it as hadithun ilahiyun, a hadith that the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Huraira said, Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he too would also say, Allah said subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was it that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ascribed to his Lord in this report? Qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ana inda dhanni abdi. Ana inda dhanni abdi. I am as my servant thinks of me. I am as my servant, as he thinks, that is how I am. As he conceives of me, that is how I am. The scholars say, yani, ana inda dhanni abdi, I am as my servant contemplates of me, as he thinks of me, as he hopes of me, as he anticipates of me. They say, if he anticipates al-ghufran while making istighfar, I will forgive him. He was making istighfar, Allah forgive me. And in his mind, he is certain that the only person who forgives, la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. We are coming back to that. His thoughts are all captured in a single message while he is asking for ghufran from Allah. So as he says, astaghfirullah, Oh Allah, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for Allah's forgiveness. His mind is upon the fact that Allah is Al-Ghaffar, Allah is Wasi'ul Maghfira, and that Allah will forgive him. If he thinks like this, Ghaffar tu lahu, Allah will forgive him. Likewise, when he makes tawbah, he says, Tubtu ilayk, O Allah, I ask for your pardon. I return to you for you to forgive me. And he thinks that Allah is the one who forgives. He is At-Tawwab Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the one who absolutely accepts the tawbah of the servant. If he thinks like that, Tubtu ilayk, I will forgive him and accept his request for pardon. Likewise, the Prophet completed it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Wa ana ma'ahu idha da'ani. When at the time the servant is begging Allah, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, he's doing that with all of his attention, begging Allah, raising his hands, requesting from him, facing the Qibla, making wudu, properly dressed, well seated, without distractions, and he's calling upon him, begging him, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when the servant is in this condition, Wa ana ma'ahu, I am with him. So that the question we would ask, was he not with him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, before that? The scholars of Aqidah would explain to us. They say Allah's Ma'iyya are in two forms. They refer to one of them as Ma'iyyatullahi al-Aam, Allah's being with us, that is general. He sees everybody. He hears everybody. And he is closer to everybody than our jugular veins. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. So he hears us, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He knows what we keep in mind. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. What our hearts keep in secret. يَعْلَمُهَا رَبُّنَا. Our Lord knows them. He also knows خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ. What you pretend not to see, but you are actually looking at it. You pretend not to see it, but you are actually gazing at it, while pretending as if you are not seeing it. That is why it is khiyana, deceit. The deceit in our sight. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah knows them. وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورُ. And what the minds keep in secret. So Allah sees us. He knows everything that we do. He hears us, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He is near to us, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He sees us, he hears us. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Everything, everywhere. Nothing is hidden from him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. His knowledge, he encompasses everything, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This kind of his being with us, it is for every human being, every person, every individual. This ma'iyya is called ma'iyyatullahi al-'am, Allah's being with us that is general. The second aspect of Allah's ma'iyya with his slaves, the scholars refer to it as ma'iyyatullahi al-khasa, Allah's being with his servants in a special manner. So when Allah said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Inni ma'akuma, himself and Harun, I am with the two of you, asma'u wa ara, I hear and I see. Go to Firaun. He complained, Ha, Firaun. He said, go. Inni ma'akuma, I am with you, O Musa and Harun. Asma'u, I hear everything, wa ara, and I see. So he mentioned it, inni ma'akum, I am with you. That's ma'iyya. The ulama refer to it as what? Ma'iyyatullahi al-khassa. Allah's being with us, that is special. What does that mean? In terms of protection, I'm with you. In terms of support, I'm with you. In addition to the fact that I see you, I hear you, I know your condition, this ma'iyyatullahi al-khassa, it has another thing in it. What is that? I will be there. I will support you. I will protect you. I will not allow Fir'aun to oppress you. This is the same kind of ma'iyya that Allah mentioned regarding the people of taqwa when he said, Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw. Allah is with those who have at-taqwa, those who have shown taqwa. Inna Allaha ma'ahum wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Likewise, those who are righteous people of ihsan, Allah has ma'iyyatu al-khasa for them, a special approach to being with them, which is an addition to the general ma'iyya. General ma'iyya for everybody. I hear everything you do. I see everything you do. I know everything we do. And I'm near you. Everything, I'm near you, nearer than your jugulars. So I see you, I hear you, I know everything about you do. So this is ma'iyya amma, but khasa, in addition to all of these, I guarantee you my support. The way he said, Inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw. Allah is the protector of those who have taqwa. In addition to the fact that he sees them, he hears them, their condition is close to them, he guarantees them support, he guarantees them help, he guarantees them aid, he guarantees them protection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when here in this hadith, he said, Ana inda dhanni abdi, I am as my servant conceives of me. If he waits for me to forgive me, I forgive him. If he waits for me to give him tawbah, and he's asking for me to accept his tawbah, I will accept it. Then he said, Wa ana ma'ahu idha da'ani. I am with him. I see him. I hear him. I'm near him. And I know all his condition. This is ma'iyyat al-khasa. Likewise, I am with him. I guarantee him support. I guarantee him assistance and help. I guarantee him protection. Iza da'ani, at that time he is making dua. Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. So the ma'iyya, Allah's being with him, that he has, it increases from amma to what? Khasa. From the general ma'iyya, he begins to benefit from special ma'iyya. Why? He is upon dua. Is making dua, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. So his condition moves from the general Allah's being with him to the specifics of Allah's being with him. What does this now relate with raising the hands while we make dua? That is because what is known from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is that he would raise his hands when the dua, when things go tough, and the dua is absolutely incumbent, he would raise his hands, alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this circumstance, when Allah said, Ana inda dhanni abdi bi, the servant, I am to him as he thinks of me. So when he raises his hands up, asking from me, begging me, seeking my help, seeking my support, I will provide him that his hands that he has raised up unto me. I will not make him hold it without giving him what he likes. So this is the reason why this hadith comes under this, because the individual will not be guaranteed support by Allah. He will not be guaranteed that, don't worry, if you expect me, if you hope in me to answer your dua, I will answer it. That will not be happening from a servant, except the servant who has actually raised his hands up. This is the one who is guaranteed that. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I'm with him specially. I'm with him exclusively. I guarantee him support. I guarantee him help. I guarantee him protection. إِذَا دَعَانِ. When he invokes me and supplicates to me. This is the hadith, the last hadith under this chapter heading, all of which from hadith 609 to hadith 616, about seven ahadith, all of them encouraging us to raise our hands up while we make wudu and while we make dua. Ikhwa, don't come to ask me that if I make dua without raising my hand, is it not acceptable? That is not what we are talking about. It is acceptable, yes, your dua is lawful, but it's a weak dua you are making when you make dua without raising your hands. When you raise dua, when you raise your hands during dua, your dua is stronger, it's more potent than the dua of the individual who did not raise his hands, all other things being equal. I hope you don't come back to say you can lie on your bed and be making dua. Don't ask these kinds of questions. Don't ask, because this book is discussing noble manners. From the noble manners, from the manners of esteem, where we make dua is that we raise the hand of request. We raise the hand of need. We raise the hands of poverty. We raise the hands of inquiry. We are begging. The hand of begging, we raise it unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is most nearly that our answered and our requests will be granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next in the chapter that Al-Imam al-Bukhari followed this with, don't forget, he had discussed our manners with people and conduct with people. He is discussing now our conduct with Allah. That's why he started talking about our conduct in dua, our conduct in adhkar. Here he wants to tell us another thing of conduct when we make dua, and when we relate directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he called it Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar, the chapter about Sayyid al-Istighfar. Sayyid al-Istighfar linguistically would mean the head, the leading amongst the forms and the ways you make istighfar, which one is the best. So here Al-Imam al-Bukhari wants to tell us the best ways. What are the expressions of istighfar that are better than others? If you say astaghfirullah, it's a way of asking for istighfar, asking for forgiveness. What better are those ways, the best ways to ask for istighfar, to ask for Allah's forgiveness? That is what he wants to tell us here. Otherwise, there is a zikr referred to as what? Sayyid al-Istighfar. Why was it itself referred to as Sayyid al-Istighfar? Because it includes all the details we need to get a quick forgiveness from Allah, such as declaring your weakness, such as expressing your need for Allah, such as praising him and declaring that nobody can forgive you except him. All of these things in one single dua. So that dua is called Sayyid al-Istighfar. But it is not the only way to best ask for istighfar. So here Al-Bukhari points to Rahimahullah other good expressions, other encouraged expressions, other expressions that contain a lot of benefits in terms of asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will come, the first of them, from hadith number 617, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddasana musaddadun, qala haddasana Yazid ibn Zuray, qala haddasana Hussein, qala haddasana Abdullah ibn Buraida, qala haddasana Abdullah ibn Buraida, and Bushair ibn Ka'b, and Shaddad ibn Aws, and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. قال سيد الاستغفار اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أبوء لك بنعمتك وأبوء لك بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت إذا قال حين يمسي فمات دخل الجنة أو كان من أهل الجنة وإذا قال حين يصبح فمات من يومه مثله. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported this hadith from his Shaykh Musaddad. That is Musaddad ibn Musarhad. He was also from the students of Al-Imam Ahmad. But he became from the shuyukh, from the teachers of Al-Bukhari. And it was from him that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported Sayyidul Istighfar. One of the reports of Al-Bukhari regarding Sayyidul Istighfar occurs from Musaddad ibn Musarhad. If you come to hadith number 620, it is also talking about that hadith, Hadithu Sayyidul Istighfar. Come to hadith 620. In 620, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it from Abu Ma'mar, who was reporting from Abdul Waris, and Abdul Waris reports from Hussein. So this hadith 617 and hadith 620, the isnad converges at Hussein. The isnad converges at Shaykh al-Bukhari, the Shaykh of the Shaykh that Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from. His own Shaykh. Musaddad was the Shaykh of al-Bukhari in 617. He reported from Yazid ibn Zuray. Yazid ibn Zuray reported from Hussein. In 620, the Shaykh of al-Bukhari was Abu Ma'mar. He was reporting from Abdul Waris. Abdul Waris reported from Hussein. That was Hussein ibn Zakwan, al-Mu'allim al-Basri. Hussein ibn Zakwan was a teacher. He used to teach, so he used to be called Hussein ibn Zakwan, al-Mu'allim. Hussein ibn Zakwan, al-Mu'allim. If we find one of our teachers now being referred to as Mu'allim rather than Ustaz, some of our brothers will find this strange. Some of the teachers amongst the early Muslims used to be referred to as what? Mu'allim. Why? They were teachers who were busy with teaching the people their religion. They were not referred to as ustaz, asatiza, neither were they referred to as shuyukh or mashayikh. The concern was about the job they did, which was ta'alim, and they got their name from that, mu'allim. That is very common in the northern part of the country and in other parts of the country too. In the north, the word mu'allim began to be used as what? Ma'alam. What it means is mu'allim. And what they actually intend to pronounce is mu'allim. In fact, in the north, some of the biggest scholars, instead of being referred to as Sheikh, they call them Mala, Mala. They are very, very used to this expression to describe their scholars. Hussein ibn Zakwan al-Mu'allim was from the teachers, the biggest scholars in Basra in his time. Hussein ibn Zakwan. Here he is the teacher of Yazid ibn Zuray and Abdul Waris for this hadith. And the two of them, from Yazid ibn Zuray, Musaddad ibn Musarhad reported it, that is 617. And from Abdul Waris, the student of Hussein, Abu Ma'mar reported it, that is 620. Meaning that Al-Bukhari received this hadith from completely two different routes that ended up with one single teacher. Who was that? Hussein ibn Zakwan al-Mu'allim. In the two isnad, he was reporting from Abdullah ibn Buraida. Abdullah ibn Buraida is the son of a companion. His father was Buraida ibn Husayb al-Aslami. Abdullah ibn Buraida was reporting from who? Shaddad ibn Aus. I was reporting from Bushayr ibn Ka'b in this hadith. But he himself was the son of a companion. Who was his father? Buraida. I hope a brother will name his son Buraida, because the name is not very common. And he was an eminent companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Buraida to Ibn al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu. His son Abdullah had a teacher. His name was Bushayr ibn Ka'b al-Adawi. He is the one Abu Ayyub. Bushayr ibn Ka'b al-Adawi Abu Ayyub. He was the one who reported this hadith from Shaddad ibn Aus. And we know Shaddad ibn Aus, Abu Ya'la, radiyallahu anhu, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul istighfar, the best form to ask for istighfar, the best form to ask Allah for forgiveness, the best expression you can employ. What do you want to use it for? You want to say it so that Allah will forgive you. The best way to say a statement of requesting for forgiveness from Allah. This is the meaning of what? Sayyidul istighfar. Someone asks you, hey, come, you use this expression, Sayyidul istighfar. What does it mean? It means the best form, the best expression with which, the leading expression that you can employ to ask for forgiveness from Allah. The Prophet wants to teach us that one now, meaning that there is no best way to ask Allah to forgive you than this one. If you say, I want to say astaghfirullah, it is correct. So that you don't come to ask me at question time, does this mean we should not say astaghfirullah? We like asking questions like this. That is not what we are saying. We are saying that the best way, the leading way, the most full of benefits, the most best expressed way of asking for istighfar is to say, as the Prophet taught us alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should say, Allahumma anta rabbi, oh Allah, Allahumma, oh Allah, anta rabbi, you are my Rabb. We mentioned that Allah likes us to use that word Rabb, Rabb, when we make dua. He likes his rububiyyah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He even started the Quran with his rububiyyah. How did he start it? Rabbul Alameen. He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So he is Rabb. He is Ar-Rabb. He likes to be called Ar-Rabb. Ar-Rabb, the one who created you from nothing. Ar-Rabb, the one who sustained you. One of our elder brothers will say, when we say Allah sustains us, we don't think about one thing. I asked him, what is that? He said, from the very first day of pregnancy, when the child begins to develop in the womb of his mother or her mother, as the child is growing up gradually, Allah is preparing the mother's breast milk for the child. As the child is growing up, the breast milk is being prepared. And on the day of delivery, the breast milk is ready to be taken by the child. Is there a better way to show that? He sustains us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are growing up far away in the womb. Allah is nurturing the breast milk for you, far away up there. This shows that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our Rabb. So He is our Khaliq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Creator. No one created us except Allah. And we have not evolved from monkeys. He created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, min nafsin wahida. He created us from one single soul, Adam alayhi salam. The Prophet told us, kullukum min Adam, wa Adamu min turab. All of you came from Adam, and Adam came from the sand. So Allah is our Rabb, Allahum. You say, oh Allah, ya Allah, anta Rabbi, anta Khaliqi, anta Raziki. You are my creator, you are my sustainer, ya Allah. And anta al-mumit. Allah, from His rububiyyah, is that He is the one who will kill all of us. At the time that He has stipulated for us, one after the other, He will take us away. And then He is the one who will raise us up, subhanahu. These are the major issues in ar-rububiyyah. He created us, He sustains us, He takes our life, and He will raise us up, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we remind ourselves that He is our Rabb while asking for His forgiveness. Allahumma anta Rabbi, you are my Rabb, O Allah. La ilaha illa ant. The scholars say Allahumma anta Rabbi has two things in it. It has tawheedu al-uluhiyya, because you are referring to Him as Allah, al-ilah, the one who is most deserving that we direct worship unto. That is Allah, the deity, absolutely. Then you say anta Rabbi. We are also mentioning Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So inside Allahumma anta Rabbi, there is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of worship, the Tawheed of Ibadah, the Tawheed of divinity, ascribing worship to Allah alone, and then the fact that Allah is your creator and sustainer. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah occurs in it. And Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah occurs in it. La ilaha illa ant. We reaffirm our Uluhiyyah for Him, that He is the one who is deserving of worship. La ilaha. No other deity from all the deities that people direct worship unto, none of them is deserving of worship. Illa anta. Except you, ya Allah. Except you, anta Rabbi. Except you, O my Rabb. You are the only one deserving of worship. Khalaqtani, we break it down. You are the one who created me. Wa ana abduk, and I am your servant. You created me and I am your servant. In all of these, we are still working in between our Tawheedul Uluhiyyah and Tawheedul Ar-Rububiyyah. Ikhwa, there is also Tawheedul Asma there. Because the first ism of Allah is Allahu. So the three branches of Tawheed are available. We say La ilaha illa ant. We say Allahumma. Inside Allahumma, there is Allah's name, Allahu, inside it. So we affirm. We say Khalaqtani, you created me, wa ana abduk, and I am your slave, Allah. I am your servant, O Allah. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika, and I am upon your ahad, the covenant, wa wa'dika, and promise. These are referring to our regularly saying iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone will I give my worship to, wa iyyaka nasta'in, and you alone will I ever rely on. This is a guarantee that you are guaranteeing Allah, going into a covenant with Him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in another hadith, When we say Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, it is an agreement between we and Allah. So I am upon this promise. I'm upon this covenant. I am upon it. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu. Oh Allah, as much as I'm able to. I am upon it that I will not direct worship to anyone except you. And I will not rely upon anyone except you, Ya Allah. Mastata'tu. I am putting every effort in that. No shirk. And ibadah is for you alone. No absolute reliance on anybody except you, O Allah. This is what I'm upon. And I'm putting all my energy inside it. He says, Abu'u laka bi ni'matika. I acknowledge. Abu'u laka. I acknowledge to you. Ukirru laka. I affirm to you. Bi ni'matika. Because this is mufrad mudaf. All your blessings, ni'ma, all of them, I affirm that they come from you. So when I enjoy fresh air, it is from you. When I'm able to sleep, or sleeping is not ni'ma, it is from you. When I eat food and it digests and I can urinate and defecate, it is from you. Whatever I do from these favors and I enjoy, you are the one who provided me them, Ya Allah. وَأَبُوهُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي. I also affirm بِذَنْبِي. All my sins I affirm. I acknowledge. I have sins, Ya Allah. I have undoings. I have violations, O Allah. فَغْفِرْ لِي. So forgive me. Forgive me, Ya Rab. Forgive me. أَنْتَ رَبِّي. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. I don't have anybody to run to ask for forgiveness. Khalaqtani, you created me. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dik. The agreement that I will not direct worship to anyone except you. And your promise that if I don't do that, you will give me al-jannah. That is what I am upon. Mastata'tu. I put in all my efforts in it. And not just that. Abu laka bi ni'matik. I affirm and I acknowledge all your favors on me. Wa abu laka bi dhanbi. I also declare my sins, my inabilities, my failures, my violations, those restrictions that have overrun me. Allah, please, faghfir li, forgive me. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Because no one has the power, no one has the ability, and no one does forgive illa ant, except you, Ya Rab. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sanat. I ask your protection from the evil of the things that I have done. I have done so many things. I always say this to people. Whatever you do, be ready for the repercussions. All your actions, they come back with the repercussion. Think of it when you do it. When you do something, when you take a decision, when you make a statement, don't forget. It doesn't just go like that. The first thing is that those statements are recorded for you or against you. You have two angels going about with you, created with you by Allah. They move along. Everywhere you go, they are there. They are recording everything that you say. Even when you feel pain and you say, ah, they record it. They record everything. Ma yalfizu min qawli. Ma. He does not express any utterance. Illa ladayhi raqibun atid. Except that he has these two angels, raqib. The two of them, they have something. They are in regular moral cover of you. They are regularly watching you. And they are not forgetful. They record everything. They keep the documentation. So everything that I do, Ya Rabbi, you know. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sanat. So if I do or I say something wrong, and it has negative repercussion, O Allah, I ask your protection. I ask your protection. I beg you to protect me from what? From the evil repercussions of my actions and my statements. Because our actions have evil repercussions. So if I commit a sin, it has evil repercussions. There are some of them that are very clear to us. Some of them, we don't see them clearly except upon deep reflection. Some of them, we don't see them clearly except upon deep reflection. We remember that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, from amongst the Tabi'un, Rahimahullah, he was well known from amongst the students of Anas ibn Malik. He was very, very rich. Even though his own parents were freed slaves, Muhammad ibn Sirin became very rich, he became very knowledgeable from the biggest scholars in the city at the time. Muhammad ibn Sirin, Rahimahullah, he was very, very knowledgeable. Inna hadha al-ilma deenun, that Al-Imam Muslim recorded in the Muqaddimah of his Sahih. We quote it a lot. You see people make it as a picture and they send it all around. That statement that inna hadha al-ilma deenun, this knowledge that we are talking about, it is deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khuzuna deenakum. So you should watch well. Who are you taking your religion from? This statement came from Muhammad ibn Sirin. He was a trader. He traded in oils. He used to sell oils of various forms, zayt, whether zaytun, whether palm oil, and things like this. These kinds of oils. Oils was the trade of Ibn Sirin. And he became very rich out of it. He said this statement 40 years after he saw the repercussion of a sin that he committed 40 years ago. He went bankrupt, radiallahu anhu. He started by getting involved in a lot of debts. As he was trading, his debt was accruing. As he traded, he gathered more debts, and problems started. His business began to go down. Rahimahullah, to such an extent that Sheikh could not come to class again. Ibn Sirin could not come to class. His students would say, Sheikh, we have a lesson. Say, hey, I can't come and sit down in front of you while I'm indebted to majority of the people in the congregation. How do I do that? I come to start teaching you and I'm in debt to majority of the people in class. Tabi'i, Muhammad ibn Sirin, the business continued to go down gradually. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The business continued to go down till he became in prison because of his tubisa alayhi, because of indebtedness. Muhammad ibn Sirin. So he began to recollect, what is it that I have done that made Allah to bring me to this kind of a condition? Look at them. The first thing he was thinking is that this is condition, is a repercussion of something he did. The reason I'm saying this was that expression, A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, asking Allah's protection from the evil repercussions of your action. Ibn Sirin, in his business, went down. He first of all started grappling with debts as a trader. You know what that means? Not just a trader. A trader who had been very successful in his trade. And then the business began to run down. Shops began to close. He will collect the goods, he will not be able to supply and pay back. His debts began to gather. He was a sheikh, he was a learned person, he could not teach again. Come and teach your sheikh, he said, hey, I can't appear in front of the people, I'm indebted to them. Rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Sirin. Until He became in prison because of debts. Rahimahullah. So he began to think, what did I do wrong? Ya Allah. What have I done wrong? He began to think. Till he remembered that 40 years ago, he was talking to a man, he called him Ya Muflis. Oh, you bankrupt. He referred to a man as bankrupt. Allah made him go bankrupt. That is from the repercussions of your action. 40 years after, he said, oh, the punishment I'm serving now was the evil repercussion of the statement I made to somebody 40 years before. What happened? I called the man bankrupt inside the market. And here I am. But there's a thing of praise here. The scholars say it was because their sins were few. If it were us, how many people in the last 40 years have we abused and insulted and called bankrupt? How many people have you called lazy? How many people have you insulted upon a trial Allah brought to him? So you will not even be able to remember. You have a lot on your head. But because their own faults were few, they were able to think back within a period of 40 years. What was it that I said inappropriately? He remembered that he had insulted somebody in the market. That, oh, you muflis, oh, you bankrupt. And then gradually his business began to go down and he became bankrupt. The lesson here is that statements have repercussions. Those repercussions can take up to 40 years. It can take up to 20 years. You have a lie, you lied against somebody and you are defending the lie. Don't worry, it has repercussions. We are coming to these matters fuller in Adawu Wadawa. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions 60 repercussions for sins. 60 evil effects. So in Sayyid al-Istighfar, you are begging Allah, A'udhu bika min sharri ma sanat. The evil from my sins, I ask you to protect me from the evil repercussions of the actions that I commit. This is Sayyid al-Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at abu'u laka bi ni'matika wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا قَالَ حِينَ يُمْسِي فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. If you say this expression when you get into the evening, if you die that evening, you will enter al-Jannah. Ikhwa, this is another avenue for us. As you get into the evening, what should you say? Sayyid al-Istighfar. It will earn you forgiveness from Allah. It will also earn you al-Jannah. Because once your sins are forgiven, Bismillah, Allah will grant you al-Jannah. The Prophet said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا قَالَ حِينَ يُمْسِي فَمَاتْ. If you say it at the time of the evening, as late from late noon, from after Salatul Asri, down. If you say this dua, فَمَاتْ, and then the person dies, دَخَلَ al-Jannah. He will enter al-Jannah. أَوْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Or that he said, that person will be from the people of Al-Jannah. وَإِذَا قَالَ حِينَ يُصْبِحُ فَمَاتْ. Likewise, if he says it at the time he gets into the morning, like from after Salatul Fajr, as we are now, we have gotten into the morning, say your Sayyidu al-Istighfar. If you say it and then you pass away, by the mercy of Allah, فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ. If you die that day after you have said your Sayyid al-Istighfar, مِثْلَهُ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, you will enter al-Jannah. So this is Sayyid al-Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta, خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت. أبوء لك بنعمتك وأبوء لك بذنبي فاغفر لي، فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. These are the expressions we must pay attention to. As the evening falls and as the day breaks, if you say them on either of the times, you say it in the evening and pass away, Allah will forgive you, and you will be from the people of Al-Jannah. If you say it in the morning and the individual happens to pass away before evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward he has for you is Al-Jannah. If you come to Hadith 620, there are a few more expressions in that dhikr. And the arrangement in terms of A'udhu bika min sharri ma sanat, it comes earlier in 620. It comes earlier. In 620, it comes earlier. In 617, it came at the end. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sanat. It came as the last expression is in 617. But in 620, it came as the third expression. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anti. Falaktani wa ana abiduka wa ana ala ahadika wa wa'adika mastata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. So in whichever of the two ways that you say them, they are lawful biiznillah. If you say a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at at the end, if you say it at the middle also, where it occurs in 620, they are both lawful biiznillah. That is the first note. The second note is that at the end of 620, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qalaha min an-nahari mukinan biha. Anyone who says this dhikr, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. Abu laka bi ni'matika wa abu laka bi dhanbi faghfir li. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Man qalaha min an-nahari muqinan biha. Anyone who says it during the daytime, muqinan biha, who has certainty in it, as he says it, he means what he says. You can see what role that attention plays. Attention contributes to the effectiveness of dua and to the effectiveness of adhkar. There is still a condition, muqinan biha. When you are saying it, you have attention for it. You believe in what you are saying. You know what you are saying. And you really are saying what you truly mean. Whoever does that, فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِيَ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If he dies during that day, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِيَ, before evening, if you say it in the morning, and the individual passes away before evening, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, such a person, the reward that he has is that he will be from the people of Al-Jannah. وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ مُوْكِنٌ بِهَا. Anyone who says it in the night. So don't say سَيِّدُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبَدُكَ وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتُ. أَبُوُ لَكَ بِذَنْبِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. You say your سَيِّدُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ and you are pressing your phone. You say سَيِّدُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ, you are playing with a card. You are saying سَيِّدُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ, you are busy doing something else. إِخْوَى say سَيِّدُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ مُوْكِنٌ بِهَا, while paying attention to the meaning of what you are saying, believing in it out of iman. Whoever does this in the evening, فَمَاتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصْبِحَ, and then he dies before the next morning, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, he will be from the people of Al-Jannah. We are in Ramadan and every one of us is making a haste to find a means of obtaining Al-Jannah. One easy way of obtaining Al-Jannah is to be saying Sahibul Istighfar, morning and evening. Allahumma anta Rabbi. Say it out of belief in it, out of acceptance for the message that it contains. Allahumma anta Rabbi. La ilaha illa ant. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. La ilaha illa ant. No one deserves worship from me except you. Khalaqtani. You made me, you created me. Wa ana abduk, and I am your slave, I am your servant. I do not deserve to divert and direct worship to anyone and servitude except you. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu. The agreements, the covenants, and the promise, the covenants that I give that iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, I am upon it. I will only give worship to you alone, none else. And my absolute reliance will be to you alone, O Allah, none else. Mastata'tu. I will put in all my best. I put in all my energy into it. Abu'u laka bi ni'matik. All your favors on me, I affirm it. Wa abu'u bi dhanbi. O Allah, I also affirm all my sins, my iniquities, my inabilities, my shortcomings. I affirm them, yes, they came from me, faghfirli. So forgive me, Ya Allah. Fa'innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Because nobody has the power, nobody has the ability to forgive except you. Wa'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. I also ask you to forgive me and protect me from the repercussions of whatever I might have done. Anybody who says this in the morning, if he dies before the evening, Allah will make him be from the people of Al-Jannah. And anybody who says it in the evening, if he dies before the next morning, Allah will make him be from the people of Al-Jannah. You will see Sayyidul Istighfar affirms all the forms of Tawheed. It affirms Tawheedul Rububiyya, Tawheedul Al-Uluhiyya, Tawheedul Asma. Wasifat, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. All of these are from the aspects of mentioning the attributes of Allah while begging him. In all of these dua, there's just one dua there in terms of su'al and mas'ala, in terms of requests. What is the request in this dua? Faghfirli, faghfirli. Others are praises of Allah and declaring your weakness, mentioning his greatness, mentioning his mightiness. The only thing you have asked him for in this dua is what? Faghfirli, faghfirli. Forgive me, O Allah, forgive me. Faghfirli. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. I think we've been able to address Hadith 617 and Hadith 620. Bismillah, we'll continue in class tomorrow with 618 and 619. The various expressions with which we ask Allah for forgiveness, and the best of them. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has compiled them in this book under the chapter Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar, the chapter about the best forms of asking for istighfar. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to forgive all of us. We are in the month of Ramadan. So don't forget, add it to your Ramadan dua. You can't have a better way to say it than this. That is why it is called Sayyidul Istighfar. There is no better way to ask for istighfar than this one. Allahumma anta Rabbi to the end. Say it in the mornings and in the evenings. Learn it in this Ramadan and let it continue like that after Ramadan. If we have one or two questions, we can look for them about Abdul Rahman.
Salawatullah alaykum ya shaykhana.
Amin wa iyyakum.
The question here is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ya shaykh. Can we say Sayyid al-Istighfar multiple times?
Or yes. These ones are the specific ones that are connected to specific rewards. Saying it once in the morning and once in the evening. These ones are connected to a particular reward. What is that? The reward of Sayyidul Istighfar. Al-Jannah. Liman qalaha muqinan biha. If you say it, believing in it and truly trusting in it, accepting all your declarations inside it, Allah will give you Al-Jannah. You can say Sayyidul Istighfar while making tawaf. I know a brother, he says Sayyidul Istighfar in 7 tawafs. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta, khalaqtani, wa ana abduka, wa ana ala ahdika, wa wa'dika mastata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya, wa abu bi dhanbi faghfir li. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Allahumma anta rabbi, you can say it 1,000,000 times. As much as you are able to say it, we will come back to that in the next set of ahadith that we shall read, inshallah. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was full of always making istighfar. The companion said, sometimes we will sit with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, in one single gathering. The number of istighfar you would make will be up to 100. We are just sitting like this. Allahumma, he starts making istighfar. So you can make Sayyidul Istighfar as much as you are able to. Make sure you do it well. Make sure you fix your mind to its meanings while doing it. Make sure you hope in Allah's forgiveness. Don't forget, as it's in the first hadith we read today, Ana inda dhanni 'abdi. If you say it and you are upon yaqeen that Allah will forgive you, that's why he said, muqinan man qalaha muqinan biha. Fahuwa min ahli al-jannah. I hope that it is clear. Say it many times, ikhwa. May Allah forgive all of us.
Another question is, what does one who doesn't feel the sweetness of dhikr do, though he usually feels it before now?
If you are not enjoying your dhikr, look back at a particular sin. Just begin to review yourself. Don't stop your adhkar. Number one, don't stop. Number two, look back at some things you would have done. Sins hold back people. Sins, they pin you down. They pin you down. That's why in Sayyidul Istighfar, you will see, we say, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. It is very sharri ma sana'na, the evil repercussions of our actions. Look at what we mentioned of Al-Imam Ibn Sirin. 40 years after, he said to somebody, ya muflis, oh you pure idiot. That is the meaning of iflas. He went bankrupt, becoming an idiot. So he said, ya muflis, 40 years later, he went to Iflas too. May Allah protect us. So usually we don't think about the evil repercussions of our statements. We don't think about it. So the first solution we suggest to the brother is don't stop those adhkar. The second thing is that increase your istighfar. Increase your istighfar. Increase your istighfar. Likewise, increase your sadaqat. Increase istighfar, increase sadaqat. Bi-iznillah, Allah will make you go back to it. If you are a woman, look at the relationship between yourself and your husband. Your husband's displeasure in you, wallahi, can prevent you from that. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When your husband is displeased with you, you will be making ibadah and you will not feel the sweetness of ibadah. Go back and check that one too, if you are a woman. May Allah protect all of us, Abu Abdurrahman, and forgive us.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khairan. You can ask one more question and we call it a day. The time is already far spent. Abu Abdurrahman.
Ma'am, it reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi hafizakum Allah Sheikh. What does one do when one feels unsettled anytime he is around Muslim sisters, especially despite trying to lower his gaze?
Go away from them. Oh, young brother who feels uncomfortable when you are in the midst of sisters, go away from their midst. Keep yourself away from the midst of women. Keep away. The second thing you need to be doing is go and marry. If you are not married, try to marry. If you are not able to marry, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave you a suggestion. You should stick to it. Be fasting. Fast Monday and Thursday. And keep away from the midst of sisters. Avoid chatting with sisters. Avoid Facebook friends with women. Avoid it. Everything bringing you in contact and in relationship with a woman, you have to start talking to her. Hello, sister, how are you? Go away from all of this. Those who have not found a means to be able to marry, the Quran in Surah An-Nur, Allah told us, let them keep chaste. La yajiduna nikaha. They have not been able to find a means to be able to marry. Those who have been unable to find a means of marriage, maybe you have the money, but you don't have the sister. I heard yesterday of a brother for the last 17 years. He has a job, he has a house, but he has not been able to marry. 17 years. I was told about him yesterday. If I was told that he's someone that I will know very well. 17 years. He has a job. He has a house. He is striving, working hard, and he's a serious brother. Nikah will not just work for 17 years. So he's not been able to marry. La yajidu nikahan. He has not been able to find a means of marriage. People usually think that it's all about money. When you have money, you can find a wife. This is a brother who has a means of maintaining a wife. He can't find a wife. Allah says, be chaste. Atta yugniyahum Allah min fadli. Be like that in chastity until Allah will, out of his profuse, out of his abundance of wealth, yugniyakallah, atta yugniyahum Allah, until Allah will provide wealth and ability for you to be able to marry. The ability may be a means of sustaining a marriage. The ability can also be the woman to actually marry. Sometimes you have the means, you find a sister to marry, the father of the sister say, no, I will not give you marriage. And then you begin to fight, struggle, quarrel, or the father accepts, the mother says, I will not accept. You start another trouble from the mother of the sister that you want to marry. She will remain upon it. Everybody will beg her, please, please. She said, no, I don't accept. It may be the other way around too regarding the father. So if you are a person who, whenever you find yourselves in the midst of women, sisters, you are uncomfortable, the first advice is that you go away from that gathering. Avoid going to gatherings that mix you up with women. It is not proper. The second thing is that find a means to marry. If you can't marry, start fasting. Just be sure that you are chaste. May Allah protect us from indecency. Can we call it a day here, Abu Abdurrahman?
No, ya Sheikh Alain. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيك.
آمين آمين وأنتم فجزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.